1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 12. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would this sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Happy anniversary, 45 years. Oh my goodness. How many of you were there at the beginning? Is there many here? There's a few hands going up. Be here right at the beginning. That's great. I was at a church not that long ago. They were having their 150th anniversary, and I asked the same question, and all the church looked at one person and go, "Derek!" And he wasn't 150 at all. He was only about 90, but he looked 150. But it's good to be amongst you and to be able to share with you. It was very much on my heart, you know, what should I be preaching? And I've been praying about this. And the Lord kept bringing me back to this passage on the body of Christ. Normally, at an anniversary, we would look at the past and the present, what great things God has been doing in the life of the church, and looking to the future and the vision for the church. But for some reason, kept coming back to this passage from 1 Corinthians. And I want to take you on a journey. Initially, I want to take you back to AD 55. I'm going to take you back to Corinth. The church at Corinth was only a couple of years old when this was written. It was not 45 years old, but we're going to meet the Christians in AD 55. You won't find them in a church building like this. You won't find them in a synagogue. You will actually find them in a downtown apartment, a flat, an old dirty room, squashed because there wasn't much room in the city. You wouldn't find them on the Saturday afternoon, and you wouldn't find them on a Sunday morning either, because a number of them were slaves or servants of masters, and they would only have to meet in the evening. There'll be those that would come in late as well. They wouldn't have had an ordained minister. There was very little organization in the church. It was a relatively small gathering. There would have been a whole host of different names. There would have been nearly half of them would have had Latin names. Nearly half of them would have had Greek names. And there would be those other names that you could never pronounce anyway. And you see, Corinth was a well-established city. It was had a well-established cultural life, just like Exmouth. It's a city within an empire with a pagan culture which is enshrined in the civic life, devotees of various cults and strands of philosophical thinking, just like Exmouth. There was a synagogue for the Jews. There was a port. There was a transient population. It was a great port, just like Exmouth. No. It was an administrative center for the whole of the area, just like Exmouth. It hosted the Isthmian Games. No, that was definitely not Exmouth. And it was a good for communications for all the other towns and cities around. And it was about this city, actually about 4 years previous, Paul came as an apostle to preach the good news. He needed a place to stay, so he found that there was someone called Priscilla and Aquila who actually had a tent-making business, and Paul was a tent-maker. What a great thing. They invited him into their home. He converted them, and they were the first converts here in Corinth. And then Paul worshipped at the local synagogue, and he argued with Greeks and Jews and got kicked out. So what did he do? He went next door, because the person next door, Titius, asked him, well, why don't you come and share with me, and we'll get Crispus, the synagogue leader, to come in as well. And do you know what happened? Crispus came to faith, and his family. And Paul stayed there for about 18 months, and then things got stirred up, as only Paul could do. It led to a bit of violence, and Paul and Priscilla and Aquila went on their way. And they left Corinth in about 52, 53 AD. And Paul went on his missionary journey, and Aquila and Priscilla went to Ephesus, where they met Apollos. They corrected his incomplete theology and sent him back to Corinth, and so he could be one of the first leaders in the church. The church itself was quite confused. It was going in different directions. They weren't quite sure. It was all very new to them. They had no experience of monotheism, let alone Christianity. And their church was a ragbag group of individuals with a little sense of responsibility for vision or each other. And they were very much centered around individuals rather than the collective being the church. You know, at the beginning of Corinth, where, you know, who do I follow? Do I follow Apollos? Do I follow Paul? They weren't quite sure about what it was. And as I go around to different churches, as in through my experience of 30-odd years of ministry, I have discovered that churches have lost the emphasis of the doctrine of priesthood of believers. They've lost that sense of the corporate identity. Too many Christians think that they stand alone with God, that they're not accountable to the church, that they can have their own agendas, instead of understanding the importance of body ministry. And yes, it's true, we can have a personal relationship with God. Of course we can. The Holy Spirit works through us as individuals, and we understand the Word of God individually for ourselves. And yet, God created the church as the redeeming agent for the world. He has a purpose for the church. And every member within the life of the church has a responsibility. Although we are personally accountable to God first, we are also accountable to others within the life of the church. So rather than being independent, we are interdependent. As the song goes, was it? The head bone is connected to the... The head bone connected to the thigh bone. Hey, we have some strange body ministry here. The head bone's connected to the... The neck bone's connected to the... The back bone's connected to the... Thigh bone, hip bone. The thigh bone's connected to the... The knee bone's connected to the... Leg bone. The leg bone is connected to the foot bone. The foot bone, as the song goes, is connected to the heel bone. I don't understand that. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. As you come to this next part of your journey in going into your 46th year, you're called to recognize that as you do that, you are all together as a part of that body, all with a responsibility one to each other. And there'll be your minister, team, deacons, church members belong together, and you share in the covenantal relationship. And this passage is all about being human being as the body, but being responsible, being realistic, being respectful for those within the life of the church. And here, Paul tells the church how you are meant to function, how you're to be in this coming year. And firstly, it's about being responsible. We must each accept our own responsibility in the life of the church. It's not simply the responsibility of a minister or deacons or elders or those who do this and that to do the church. You don't come to church simply on a Sunday to punch a spiritual time card. You do more than that. It's a place to fulfill the responsibility that God's given to you. And yes, there are certain things all of us are expected to participate in, prayer, worship, evangelism, attendance, and giving, but there are also things that you will have unique gifts in which are expected to be released into the life of the church. The degree in which we refuse to allow to take on that responsibility is the degree in which the church is less than what God can be used in this purpose. Calling a minister, having a minister, does not negate every individual's responsibility in the life of the church. I was speaking to a church secretary very recently, in the last couple of weeks, and he asked me a question. He said, "Can you tell me what's wrong with our church and be honest?" I said, "How honest do you want me to be?" He said, "Be really honest. You know the church really well. I want you to be really honest." And I said, "Oh, right. There's a critical spirit in the church." "To what?" I said, "Everyone's got their own agendas. They all like their certain types of songs, certain types of hymns, the choice of songs, the tempo of the songs, the way it's played, the way the money's spent, the way Frieda had a pastoral visit and I hadn't, and the color of the paint in the church. This is the image that they had of the church. They were all individual, their own little agendas." And I said, "There's nothing unifying them to say this is the focus, Jesus. You're just a group of people gathering on a Sunday, nothing more." And he said, "Oh, well, I better tell the church that." I thought, rather you than me. But you know, I said, the church has to take on responsibilities, that they are a part of a body responsible for each other. So being responsible. The second thing is being realistic, realizing your own limitations. While we accept a responsibility in the life of church, we must also accept that God did not equip any one person. I know you might think an awful lot of Simon, and he's multi-gifted, but there isn't a single person that can do everything in the life of the church. And that is a lesson to be learned of members and ministers. 3 weeks ago, I had a very desperate phone call from a church secretary from one of our churches in our patch, and she phoned up and she said, "We're really concerned about the workload of our minister." And I was a bit puzzled by this because it isn't a very big church. We're only talking 30 on a Sunday, maybe 28 members, and it's quite rural. There isn't much going on. Well, I didn't think there was, and I couldn't fish it. I'm really worried about his health. He's just working and working and working, and he does absolutely everything. I said, "What do you mean, everything?" Well, he cleans the toilets. He won't let anyone else do it. He mows the church lawn. Whenever we need to get coffee and tea he goes and gets it. He sets up for the playgroup. He clears away for the playgroup. He puts the chairs out for the Sunday. And she just went on. And I said, "But is that not the responsibility of others?" She said, "But he just won't let us." And so I've had to have a conversation about body ministry. It's not about one person. It's about everyone taking their responsibility and freeing them to do that. Another minister in our association recently said that his church was filled with willing members, 100% willing members. I was really impressed. He said 20% were willing to work and the other 80% were willing to let them. Bless him. What could be achieved if everyone played their role in the life of the church to their full potential? What could be achieved? I don't know about you. Does anyone like jigsaws?
Yes.
Yeah, I like jigsaws. I like jigsaws, and there's a great picture here with a jigsaw. Each, as members of the body, we can compare ourselves to be a part of that jigsaw. We are all pieces in a puzzle that make the whole picture. Each piece has protrusions and indentations. If you imagine the protrusions to be our strengths, our talents, our abilities, and those indentations represent the weaknesses, the limitations, the shortcomings, the undeveloped areas in our life. And the neat thing is that those pieces complement each other. They come together. They produce a beauty as a whole. Just as each piece of a puzzle is important, so every member of the body of Christ is important. But you will also know the frustration when you complete a puzzle and there's one piece missing. Yes, most of my puzzles have one piece missing. It's when it becomes weakened. And so if not everyone's taking part, then there is a weakness. One of the things that can hinder the health and halt the growth of a church is there for an unwillingness for opportunities for folks to get involved in service. And so often, it's not a case that people aren't willing, it's about not being allowed to do what God has called them to do. And so it's allowing those limitations to be removed. We are also called to be respectful of each other. And we must respect each other here in verses 19 to 26. Because whether we realize it or not, though I may not see my heart beating, that doesn't mean I would want to get along without it. Each of us have the opportunity to honor one another for the contribution in the life of the body. In any flesh and bones body, there's a variety of cells. I understand there are 14 different types of cells. There are nerve cells, blood cells, muscle cells, and they all have their distinct function, and it's only when they work together and work well, everything is healthy. I was going to ask, what do you think is the most important part of the body? Your tongue, that's one. Another part of the body? Anyone else? The most important part? The heart. Well, you can't cope without the heart, can you? But what else?
Brain.
Can't cope without the brain, can you?
The liver?
The liver? The nerves, there is so much, isn't it? And it's only when you start thinking about the importance of each part of the body, you start realizing how important every part is. Sadly, my daughter recently, well, in this last 18 months, she developed a heart problem, which they thought they sorted out, but she's unwell again. She has a secondary heart block. She's only in her mid-20s. It looks like she might have to have a pacemaker fitted. But it's quite interesting to see how that affects her. The heart isn't working properly. The electrodes aren't working and making her heart work. So her heartbeat can go from 50 to 150 and then back down to 50. It just jumps from like that. And by doing that, it makes her very tired. She can't do anything. Her legs give in. She wants to faint. She can't move her hands and her arms. One part of the body not working properly makes a huge difference to everything else. So we are to realize that we are all so important. Many of the problems in the church today, we forget that the church has as a body a head, which is Jesus Christ. He's determined that each of us has a role within the life of the body. What we need to do is look to him and say, Lord, what is my role within the body of the church? And everyone in the body can have a role, and you're to be appreciated for what you do in the life of the church. When I had a real ministry 5 years ago and had a church, in my last church, didn't succeed completely, but we tried to make sure that everyone had a role within the life of the church, however small. I think we got up to 94%. And when you consider our congregation was about 230, 240, we didn't do too badly. But we would get 93, 94% of people had a role in the life of the church. We sat down and we looked and we prayed. Where your gifts lay. We had an exercise which we did to discover some of the gifts, and people were released into gifts. We also realized in doing that some people were doing activities that they weren't actually gifted for. And so they actually stopped doing things and did something else. And they were released into doing something that God has called them to do. And you say, why did you do that? You weren't even any good at it. And they say, oh, because no one else would do it. And that's not always a good reason, is it? Because no one else would do it. And it's about finding our role within the life of the body. If you fell and injured your wrist, it would swell up and become painful. And I can assure you, the rest of the body would stay up all night with it. When someone hurts, the whole body hurts. When the body is feeling really fit and doing really well, the whole body enjoys that experience. And I know you've got a prayer meeting this week to pray for some part of the body who is not well and needs prayer. That is church. That is body ministry. That's coming together. That's loving one another, being devoted to one another, living in harmony with one another, accepting one another, serving one another. It's about bearing with one another. It's about being kind and compassionate to one another. It's about submitting to one another, admonishing also one another, encouraging one another. It's about spurring one another on. These are all scriptural commands about the responsibilities of the body. And none of those commands is given to a special person to fulfill. It's being given to each of us. The reading went on. It is he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, prepared God's people for the works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. Built up. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And he goes on, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined and held together by a supporting ligament, growing and builds itself up in love, so every part can do its work.
I want you to notice that God does not only call us to individual Christ-likeness, he also calls us to pursue congregational Christ-likeness, to making sure we do our parts within the body. I'm going to leave it there, really, I think, because I think you need to, we're going to spend some time in prayer, and I'm just going to pray that you may find your role within the life of the church for this coming year. And if you're gifted in giving, it's in giving. If it's gifted in serving, it's serving. It's gifted in preaching, preaching. Gifted in leading worship, worship. Gifted in helping out and serving coffee and tea. It's just as important. I always remember I was at a conference with Graham Kendrick, and someone put up his hand and said, Graham, who is the most important part of the music group? Is it the drummer that sets the beat? I know someone's really excited about that. Is it the lead guitarist who gets it going? Is it the singer who sings and brings in the congregation? Who is it? And bear in mind, this is 30 years ago. And he said, well, it's actually the person who does the overheads. And he said, because without seeing the words, they won't be able to sing. And it made everyone think. It made me think. I've never forgotten that. That what we might consider to be sometimes the most trivial of roles is actually sometimes the most important of roles in the life of a church. I've always been blessed by the little things that happen. Someone's going to wash up those communion glasses. How many of you actually know who does it? It just happens, doesn't it? You have these little pixies that come in and clear them up. There's all sorts of things that happen in the life of the church. You don't know what happens. And you don't need to know, but just to accept that someone is actually doing that as a part of the body, their service to you. Shall we pray? Father God, I want to thank you for the 45 years that the church has experienced in sharing together as the people of God in this community. I thank you for the vision and the way that you have led to be this church on the hill. But Lord, we know it's more than just a church on a hill. So it's a body of people with you as the head. And may we never lose focus in the vision and the future of this fellowship, that they never lose that the centrality of everything is around you, Jesus. That there might be different parts of the body doing things, but it's for you. And I just pray, Father, for those friends in the life of the church that have the gifts that have been unrealized, that they may be released. Those friends in the church that are just doing things because they feel they could do, it might not be their gifting, may be released. And I just pray, Father, that as this church works together, as everyone finds their identity with it, we know great things will happen. Because as in the human body, when everything works well and is going well, then you know, we can achieve so much more. And I just pray, Father, in this coming year, it will be an exciting year, it will be an encouraging year. I pray for Simon and the leadership team, and pray for wisdom and guidance and vision and encouragement. And I pray that this church will continue to develop, that it will be a fantastic year, that they can come back and say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I bring them before you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.